welcome everybody to the final live show from Ollie's Pub here in Cape Coral of a Democrat and a Republican walk into a bar.
I am your Republican host, Sean Hartman.
I am your Democratic host, Dr. Cindy Banier. And it certainly has been a celebration here of...
Bittersweet for sure. Obviously, yeah. Ollie's, after much work, was unable to succeed in getting a buyer. So we are leaving Ollie's, and we'll probably be going on a hiatus in May and trying to figure out where our next bar is going to be. And I know we're planning some debates, too.
Yep.
As well, so we're going to have some candidate debates, so really excited for that. So we're not going away, we're just trying to find a new venue, but for our last day at Ollie's, I got this, what's this called again, Ollie? Or Sean?
What?
What's this called again, the sandwich?
Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior. It is truly an Ultimate Warrior, I cannot.
It's like a ridiculously large sandwich with a lot of meat on it. I just also had a nice sandwich here. So during the last couple of weeks here of Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral, come and grab yourself a beer, grab a sandwich. I know they have some big fun finale events coming up next weekend with musical acts. So come in, say hello, say goodbye, and say goodbye to a great venue downtown.
A great staple of our community.
As is the life of things around here, things come and things go, right? Good things can't always last forever.
Turn, as the song goes.
Or whatever other cliche we can come up with. All right. So, but as we do each and every episode, we start talking about the things that are going on in politics, looking at things from across the aisle. So, yeah. Sean, what's top of your mind for this week?
I did want to bring this up first. There is, for those that haven't been following what's going on here, I wanted to start local here at Lee County. We have what's known as the Lee County Hospital Board. Yeah. And it is a publicly run, our Lee Health System is publicly run. So we elect the board of directors. They decide on what's best for the health system. They are not a non-taxable agency. They do not collect taxes. They get all of their funding from insurance and Medicaid and outside grant funding. So, and for the most part, it's been working good for us so far, but there is a plan to privatize and turn it into a community-focused nonprofit. They are having a, they have, from my understanding, have not made a final decision on it. From what I spoke to a hospital board member who said that nothing had been set in stone as of yet, but they are having a town hall at the Gulf Coast Medical Center at the board. There's like a boardroom in the Gulf Coast Medical Center where they have the hospital board meetings. They'll be doing a town hall there on April 25th at 4 p.m. And I wanted to shout it out because this is, and I keep thinking about all the things you like to talk about with fiscal conservatism and privatization. You know, when we have control over this entity, it's ours. If we, why would we want to relinquish that control is my question. And so I am personally against the privatization of our Lee County Hospital Board. Mm-hmm. But if this is something you're interested in looking into and you live in Lee County and you want to know what's going on, I think it's important that you guys know that that's happening.
Yeah. So just a couple of clarifying points. So the entity of Lee Health right now, which is the largest healthcare provider in Southwest Florida, the primary care provider for Lee County, is actually a public nonprofit agency. So it's run as a nonprofit, but it has a publicly elected board to it, right? And this actually gives them a series of kind of concessions from the state. It actually means that they cannot be, there's a cap on the amount that you can sue them for because they're a quasi public entity. So for me, as I've heard about this debate, I really don't understand why there's a push to make it a private nonprofit as opposed to a public publicly governed nonprofit, except for I feel like people want to skirt accountability.
Yeah, from my understanding, this was proposed by the CEO, who I assume would feel much more comfortable dealing with a private board than a board that was publicly accountable. That could be a hassle. If you, like you said, skirting accountability, skirting the public will to do what is more valuable and more profitable is not really the direction I want to go in. But again, that's what I heard is it's from my understanding, it's the CEO pushing for it. It's hard to say which direction the hospital board is going to go. But again, this town hall is going to be on April 25th. So make sure to be there if that's something you're interested in.
I mean, I saw some reporting that was basically as if it was a done deal. So I don't really know.
It might be. I mean, you might have enough hospital board members who are like, I don't want to keep running for office for this position either. I could understand that as well, but that's probably the wrong decision. Speaking of not running for public office, we had a big shocker recently. One of my personal friends, you're not the biggest fan of him, but my personal friend Spencer Roach had announced he's not going to keep running. He's not going to run for his final term for state rep. I had initially thought, if you actually look at his district, it's grown so much. He's now has Charlotte and DeSoto. I thought that was the main reason. I've been told that it's another reason from people close to him, but I haven't really been given too much details as to what that is. So I don't know what that means. But
you haven't been told on the big old complaint that was filed against our state rep, Spencer Roach?
I am not. What is this complaint?
Yeah. So it has been a kind of open secret that Spencer Roach was holding two public offices simultaneously through his guardian ad litem position and his elected position. A lot of folks had thought that that was not legal, essentially, to hold those two types of public positions.
Why? Well, first of all, how is a guardian ad litem like a public position in the sense of political? Like, I don't see, because from my understanding, a guardian, from what he does, is he's a foster parent.
No.
Okay, explain why this is such a big deal, because
is a court-appointed attorney for children in the case of, like, parental discourse, right? So they're the ones, their job is to legally look after the interests of the children.
Okay.
So a parent will have one attorney, another parent may have another attorney, and the guardian ad litem is a
child's attorney.
Okay. The child's attorney, but it's like a public position. I think he had also worked for the state attorney. And I don't know I haven't personally kept up with Spencer Roach's employment over the years, but from what I understand is that the complaint was based on this, that he was not allowed to hold these positions at the same time, did so anyway.
Yeah, I could, if that is the case, that first off, I don't understand what the actual issue is, why he shouldn't be allowed to be both. Because a guardian, in this case, it just sounds like he's an attorney at this point.
It has even to if it's do a public with, position. It's a public position and a public appointment.
But yeah.
And that being a conflict of interest.
The reason he decides to step down, because I know that's something he's very passionate about. He very much likes that position and helping children. So I can understand him making that choice, but
it could also potentially mean jail time for fraud, but that, you know,
see,
I don't know.
I don't see what the big deal is, but I guess if it's illegal, I mean, but I don't even see why it would be illegal in this case because of what the guardian, I don't know. But
all I know is that this is a card that people have been waiting to play for a very long time, and somebody played it, and now Spencer Roach is out of the race.
All right. Well, it's not like I don't expect flip, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I've heard.
It was upsetting. It was I was just shocked and I was upset because I know you're not obviously not a fan of Spencer Roach, but I think he has been one of the strongest conservative voices in Tallahassee. He will be missed on my side for sure. Probably not on your side. No. And I expressed my frustration on Facebook on it. Thank you, Spencer, for all you've done for our community. I'm sure you probably have a different expression you'd want to say instead of thank you. But this is a family. No, I'm just kidding.
It's
definitely not a family show.
No, I was going to say I give my full-throated support out to Jim Blue, who is the Democrat running in that now open seat. Jim Blue is a fantastic person working for the people and ready to bring voice to people who have otherwise not been represented by their state representative, who has instead represented his own personal goals and ambitions, in my opinion.
Yeah, that definitely your opinion.
Don't know.
I know that there's a Republican who just announced we were at the Conservative Legacy Caucus dinner that they had last night, and they made mention that there was someone running, but I have now forgotten their name, and I do not know.
Vanessa something or another.
Vanessa, yeah, I knew it was Vanessa and two last names. That's all I remember. But it's not someone I'm familiar with, probably someone from Charlotte County.
It is someone from Charlotte County. So. I did have to, when the news broke, I got the text message from Florida Politics, and I sent a message directly back to Peter Sorschut, reminding him that there's actually a Democrat running in that seat and had been for a long time.
You get sometimes minor errors that we get from Florida Politics every once in a while.
Because I think what he wrote was like, oh, we finally have a candidate. And I was like, hey, actually, nope. There's been a candidate. So
yeah. Well, good for you. I'm sure you guys are excited for that.
Hey, you know, open races.
Open races are more fun. And I mean, it's just him quitting 2 years early at the end of the day. So it's not really that much of a change.
Oh, okay. Hey, let's talk about something else. Okay. I don't know if you're up to speed on this one.
I'm probably not.
So listen. So Lehigh Acres is an unincorporated part of Lee County, which means it's not like a municipality, right?
Yes,
there's been a push recently to have Lee County become single member districts. Now, this came up in the 2022 redistricting and is coming up again. But interestingly, this time it is being promoted by Matt Caldwell, the Republican property appraiser. And he's got a bunch of state representatives, including Tiffany Esposito and Jonathan Martin, and a handful of other folks who seemingly are on board with him. And they're having, I think, almost the same day. No, I think it's May 1st is the town hall for the single member districts, supported by folks out in Lehigh.
Yeah.
And I was asking about this because it seemed really strange to me, because I know that, you know, Republicans in writ large were not a proponent of single member districts. They had killed it in 2022, but it seems like there's a lot of folks who are in it now or for it now in 2024. So do you have any insight on that?
I think the people who are mainly for it are going to be the politicians and the people who feel like they can run in a single member district easier than running countywide. I mean, Lee County, running for a Lee County Commission seat is the most expensive of the local races because you have to run countywide.
Yep. It's more people than a congressional district.
Exactly. So it's more expensive, more people in a congressional district. So those people, the people who really want it are the people who want to make it easier to run for those seats. So the campaign managers, the Terry Millers of the world, the political consultants, and the candidates who are planning on running, who don't want to knock on a million doors. Exactly. So, but I will say this, I'm actually a supporter of single member districts at the county level. I think it's a more fair system. I don't support, because the main proposal that I had seen was 5 single member districts, 2 at large. I think if we're doing single member districts, I think we should just do 5 single member districts.
And I think they were also talking about getting a county mayor.
Yeah, there's also talk of having an elected county manager. I would be maybe more supportive of a county mayor as opposed to an elected county manager. But something to that extent, I think that would be something I would support. But the base of the Republican Party doesn't want it because that gives...
Because they're going to lose some seats to Democrats.
Precisely. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding,
it's
ding,
about
ding,
winning.
Ding.
It's about winning. For me, it's never been about winning. It's about doing what's right and doing what's fair. And so I do see the risk of going into single member districts, losing possibly District 5 or maybe District 4. Uh-huh. Okay. That to me means that we as Republicans need to fight harder for those districts and actually make an effort to win people in those districts, which I think we can do. But again, regardless of that, that's the risk that Republicans get if we vote a single member district system in. But again, the people who are really wanting this are not the Republican base. I can tell you the Republican Party is probably going to vocally oppose it and possibly have a resolution to oppose it. I'm not 100% sure yet. I haven't heard anything internally, but I can foresee that being an issue for us going forward in the future that the party will take a stand against. Hmm. Because again, it would lead to possibly Democrats taking seats on the county commission.
So I heard that it was because Matt Caldwell thinks he can't win district or countywide, but wants to move to another position. So he's trying to carve out for himself a county commission position, which is, you know, a powerful position. He's in a countywide position right now, but it was not one that was a highly contested, and property appraiser isn't one that gets a lot of fancy, you know, accolades.
County commission gets a
but
lot
it's paid
more
extremely well, by the way. It's like $165,000 a year.
Yeah. Same as Zillman County Commission is also exactly. six figures as well.
It is.
But it's a, you know, County Commission is a legislative role, essentially. And so it's ideal for someone who wants to, like, make laws and make policy. When you're a property appraiser, you're basically like an accountant type of thing. You're just figuring out the value of property. It kind of seems like a boring job, to be honest. But
anyway, we'll see how that works.
That would be interesting to see what he does there. If that's, you know, anyway. But yeah, no, I'm personally a supporter of single member districts, though. I'd probably be voting in favor Same. Of it.
So that's going on. Also, in terms of local-ish politics, we actually, friends of mine were directly involved in a reckless driving series of allegations against former Representative Madison Cawthorn, who then proceeded to rear-end a state trooper on I-75 in Alligator Alley. So, my friend was actually got this on video in the aftermath. And my take on that, by the way, is that he was so triggered by her AOC and liberal bumper stickers that he started driving all crazy and then ended up bumping into the cop as he was trying to pass her.
Well, again, I don't know too much of what had happened in that scenario. I do hope, at least if he was recklessly driving, that they tried, that they at least ran some sort of DUI test. I still don't
understand. He looked kind of drunk to me.
From the video, he did seem a bit inebriated, and it wouldn't surprise me. He's a young man who likes to have fun. Just as long as he does it responsibly, I would prefer. But
not sure if crashing into a highway patrol officer is responsible.
But again, we don't even know if he was drunk. Again, we don't.
Well, he was not cited for it. All he was cited for was for not failing to yield to an emergency vehicle, which is a funny way of saying crash into a cop car.
Yeah.
Causing injuries too, by the way, to the police officer. And
well, it was very, very.
Not to mention the reckless driving beforehand. Yeah.
Definitely very lenient. And I'm also just wondering how the heck he's driving when he's like in a wheelchair. So I guess he has like a stick or something.
He has claimed in the past that he does not have modifications on his car, that he uses a stick that he pulled from the hedges out front of his house to reach the pedals.
That doesn't sound like a safe way to do it, honestly. Maybe it was just reckless driving because he has to hand on one wheel and the stick on the other and just like. That I
don't know,
you know, maybe it's just like, you just can't drive like that. I don't know. I don't drive. I actually, fun fact, I do not have a driver's license. I have never really learned how to drive. So I don't know. Maybe that's how you can drive. Just use this. Okay. Guess not.
Yeah. It's not. So this story was actually broken by Big Mouth Media, and we were helping to share and send that information around because it was a personal friend of mine that was being harassed. Excuse me. Being harassed on the roads by Madison Cawthorn. Like I said, I think it was him being triggered by all the liberal bumper stickers that made him lose his mind, but we're not entirely sure. But we are definitely grateful that no one else was hurt on I-75, including the police officer.
Exactly, yes. Thankfully there were no injuries. And obviously if people were hurt or if more damage was done, this would be a much bigger story. And maybe Madison, if you can like find an alternative way to drive, it'd probably be better too.
Let's be clear. This is like, he's got a long history of reckless driving and speeding.
I'm pretty sure the reason he's in a wheelchair is because of reckless driving actually.
Yes. That is part of it. So anyway, keeping an eye on you, friend, because we're not going to do a little rope-a-dope here, having you come in and run for 19 without anybody saying a word on it for when Byron runs for governor in 2026.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are talking about is Madison's making plans to run on the
Don't
next
try,
election
friend.
Cycle. So, well, it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be a tight race. We'll have 11, 12 people who will run, two or three different state reps. So it'll be a crowded field for sure for that race. I think there was even talks about doing runoff elections. I know it didn't pass through the Florida legislature, but that was one of the big talks as well that a lot of conservatives are against because conservatives tend to win primaries when there are plurality. But if you end up having a runoff and you have, like, for example, what we had last time, Byron Donalds and Dane Eagle, you would probably have Dane Eagle in Congress instead of Byron if we had a runoff.
Actually, I got more votes than both of them.
Oh, good for you. Good for
in
you.
In the primary, so I would have been one of the top voters.
Well, runoff, this isn't a jungle primary. A runoff would be, yeah. If it was jungle primary, then maybe you would have, that would have probably been a different story. But we're not talking about that.
I got more than both of them combined, actually, but.
Well, that's anyway, just because that's, we had like seven
I also
people.
Got more votes than Dan Bongino. Like, I just, which I'd love to tell my dad when he's listening to Anyway.
Dan, the ultimate carpetbagger. Yeah, I was totally. I remember being like, weren't you in Maryland?
Yeah.
I was like, and then he ran for Congress in Florida.
And here.
And another district. And then here.
Uh-huh.
And now he's like, okay, I'm just going to do a Fox News show. Or I don't even know if he's on Fox News.
He took over for Rush Limbaugh.
No, but he's not on Fox News anymore, I don't think. I think he got fired. He was one of the casualties with Tucker Carlson. So not even good enough for Fox News. So he's on.
Sucks. Dan Bongino.
Like Real America's Voice, or I think Mike Lindell has a TV channel now. It's probably on Mike Lindell's channel.
The MyPillow?
Yeah, the MyPillow guy channel? Has Lindell TV.
Wow.
That's where I watched Lou Dobbs' show, actually.
Oh, Lord. All right. What else? What else? We had the Trump trial. The
Trump
trial
started
this week.
This Trump trial started this week.
The election interference.
Not the election interference.
It's the election interference because he is being criminally tried for paying off Stormy Daniels to hide the story of their affair during the 2016 election.
If it was an election trial, it would be federal. What they're actually referring to is business fraud from the taxes because it's a state case, not a federal case. The election fraud is an aspect of the case, but that's not what the charges are based on. They're based on business fraud. Now,
the prostitute hush money case?
Yes, the prostitute hush money case.
I guess she wasn't a prostitute, but
no,
she was
porn star. Yeah.
Porn star hush money
case. Be respectful. Sex worker. That's what they're called now.
Kind of a, okay.
Anyway, so the porn star hush money case. Look, I think this is of the court cases the most absurd and the most ridiculous. I mean,
Michael Cohen's already gone to jail for it. This is actually just the other part of it where Trump gave the money and they're talking about his role in actively trying to hide this.
Yes, I get that. But again, of the actual cases that we're dealing with,
the most hilarious? Because it's definitely hilarious.
Yes, it's the most hilarious.
As hilarious as him trying to say that he wants to go to Barron's graduation during said hush money trial, considering
the irony is not
Melania
is not
was pregnant.
The irony is not lost on me that he's on the core of this trial was an adulterous affair that was being had while Melania was taking care of the kid that is now going to graduate high school. With that being said, the judge hasn't ruled on that, and I don't think the judge is going to say no to allow him to go to his son's high school graduation. It's a reasonable ask. But that's besides the point. I'm talking about the fact that when you look at the case in Georgia, or you look at the case with the documents, this is child's play to me. This is a nothing burger in comparison to those. I'm not really that interested.
I mean, you not being interested is not the same as it still being illegal.
Michael Cohen's
already gone to jail for the same situation.
I feel like if this wasn't Donald Trump and this wasn't an election year, this would be something that would have been settled.
The only reason it is happening during an election year is because Donald Trump's lawyers have been pushing this out for so long.
True. That's true. They've been trying. Part of it is their delaying tactics. A lot of it is also that the previous DA before Alvin Bragg didn't want to do it either. And so Alvin Bragg had to get elected. And another reason why I honestly think of the case is this is the most political, because he essentially ran on taking on this case. And then so I do think there's some political aspect to that. But again, my main thing is of the cases, this is not the one that is the most concerning to me. It's basically, because it's a state issue, they can only really charge for the business fraud under New York tax law and New York business law.
Yeah.
So really comparatively, it's not.
Yeah, it's not the worst shit Donald Trump has done. I'll
basically what I'm trying to say here, right?
But I will say, I am concerned. Here's my concern with that whole case, okay?
Mm.
And yes, it's, he was supposedly paying a retainer, but that wasn't the case. And actually, the whole grotesque part of how they would do this is they would approach people, and this is the same thing with Karen McDougal, is they would approach people that had potentially salacious information that they would want to sell to a news outlet, and they would pay them for it. And they would kill the story.
Yeah. And this is the National Enquirer situation.
Yes. And the NDAs so what, and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah, that's basically... really like, and that's and, really gross.
And here's the other thing too that I do want to bring up. Donald Trump is definitely not the only politician who has done this. Okay. There are, so I am sure there are so many stories that we do not know about that have been killed in these very similar manners.
But Donald
not
Trump
saying that it's right.
Basically is... institutionalized it. He had done this a lot. He had been a tabloid fodder for a very long time. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why he made this business agreement with the tabloid to be able to do this on multitudes of cases in prior to him even becoming president. Yeah. But I really think that's a grotesque manipulation of public trust. If you can just basically kill a story like this by signing people to, paying people off and then signing them to non-disclosure agreements, whoever it is, I think that this is a really big problem that we have. Let me put it this way in general.
I have a weird position on this. I am not personally against NDAs just because of how judgmental generally people are. And, you know, if you want to, it depends on what is being covered up as opposed to the cover up itself. That would be what's more concerning to me. I think, again, if someone having an affair is an issue, but it's not a political issue, it's a personal issue. And if that's something that someone wants to keep private, if they want to get into public office, and I'm not saying that I've done anything that I've, just to be clear before anyone starts pointing stuff at me, but what I'm saying is that people should have a right to privacy and have a right to determine what they want public and what not, what isn't public. Mm-hmm. I think that needs to be consensual between the parties and informed. Like the situation with the National Enquirer, when these ladies were selling their stories, they're probably thinking the story is going to get out. So that's deceptive. But if you have, like, I know of a candidate in the Midwest who anyone he has a relationship with, he has him sign an NDA just because he doesn't want that information and stuff leaked, which, you know, if it's consensual and they, yes.
Hey, it. Ladies, if a guy asks you to sign an NDA before you go to bed, that's a big fucking red flag. That's a big ass red flag.
I was
like
shocked that he could actually pull that off. But the point is that I'm not against people keeping things private that they may not want to get out, but it depends on what they're trying to keep private, and it really depends on consent, in my opinion. But I could see your point too. It's like when you're a public figure, you have to assume that regardless of whatever NDAs you have, they're going to come out. I remember the story a few years ago. You probably
be a dirtbag. Like
that's also true. But again,
you
were just talking. You know, you've been in DC for how long? How many of them are not dirtbags? Let's just be real, Cindy.
Joe Biden is not a dirtbag. He was not on the list. Listen, when I was a brand new intern coming to Capitol Hill and Joe Biden's office was right across from ours, he was not on the list of dirty senators that you needed to stay away from.
Oh, there. That's of course true. There was a list. Of course there was.
It was like, okay, don't get too close to Ted Kennedy.
Oh my God! Of course Ted Kennedy. But yes, but that's what I'm saying is, so you know, you have to think that these senators have had NDA signed up their butts all over the place to try to keep all these
people. But this wasn't, she didn't sign the NDA before it happened. It was afterwards.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to give a little plug for transparency here. Like, I don't think that if you have enough money to kill a story because you think it's going to hurt you politically, that should be okay.
I respect that opinion.
It's like only really super wealthy people that can pay the people they've wronged. That's true.
You're right. You know what? I do agree with you there. We need to socialize the NDA system. We need to publicly fund
it. How about we just not have NDAs and not have people being douchebags? Like, what is the problem with that?
It's too hard to ask politicians not to be douchebags.
Listen, keep it in your pants. How about that?
That's true. Yes, absolutely. We agree.
How about that?
There does need to be
more. What if I told you you could run for office and didn't have to fuck everybody? What if I told you that?
You'd be like a responsible married family man, like you always.
Yeah, emphasize. Like one I of agree. Those. No, like, what do they call them? Family all, values.
All joking aside, I people. Do agree with you. We need to live in a society where we don't have people afraid of NDAs.
And that's actually the problem. And again, going hate to bring it up, but this is like another one of those contradictions that the Republicans have. It's like, okay, yeah, so we want to have NDAs, and it's okay if rich people pay off people to be quiet because what they say is going to ruin their pretend family values image. Mm. Like, maybe just fucking be a family values guy. Ah, huh? How about that? Can we, like, no? Okay.
That's fair. No, that's fair. But I also think, I think that a lot of people make mistakes as well. I don't think Trump, yeah, no, stop.
I feel so bad. I'm sure he's very, very guilt-ridden about his activities.
Trump is a different character. I'm speaking more in general at this point. Trump, listen, I don't think
most of these people are only upset when they get caught.
True. Our good friend Madison Cawthorn talked about all the sex parties they're having already. If all of them got caught, I'm pretty sure they'd be as freaking out as Trump is.
That's also a very interesting component of it. Because what's funny is, like, that's not untrue what he said. Because this is like, there's this weird thing that happens to people when they get to this kind of upper echelon of politics and business. It's like, the money and the power is no longer a turn on, right? Like, that's not enough. They've reached this pinnacle and they have to enact it in another way. It's like, there's this weird sexual power, and I've seen it. I've been around it. I've been a victim of it. Like, it's a thing that happens. And I, you know, listen, it's something, there's stories about what happens here in Fort Myers, frankly, amongst this, like, upper echelon of people and wife swapping and key parties and shit like that. Like, it's fucking weird. It is something that, like, regular fucking people have no idea about, because it's like, we're too fucking poor every single day living our life working to think about, gee, how much Botox do I have to get before I go to the fucking swinger party this weekend off McGregor? Like, but this is what they fucking do, because they get fucking bored. It's boredom. And so that is a real thing. That is really happened. It happens here in Fort Myers. It happens in Washington, D.C. I mean, K Street, if you don't know, in D.C., is where all the strip clubs are and all the lobbyists headquarters are. And I'm just saying, I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Convenient meeting location.
Because there's this, like, this intertwined component of it. And you have people, you see, like, Anthony Weiner, right? You know, he was, you know, had a high profile position. His wife had a high profile position, and he's sending dick pics on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, why do people do that? It's because your brain gets all messed up.
Yeah. It's a perversion. With power. It's a literal perversion.
I mean, it's a perversion, but it's also, it's a weird component of power.
Yeah. No, I've seen that.
And I will say it, and I will say this as somebody who's worked in politics in DC, it's a lot of dorks and people who are fucking weirdos. And it's like, they get power and money and they're like, oh, now everybody wants to fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could fuck all these people that would never fuck me when I was just a regular nerd.
Yes. This is why you ladies have to start fucking nerds early. Stop preventing these monster politicians going to D.C. and Matt Gaetz-ing it up with all the teenagers. Okay? It is your responsibility. Suck that nerd's dick for America.
For America. Wow, we've really turned this into not a family-friendly show. Yeah. But he's not wrong. So it's like, yeah, maybe if they had a little bit more confidence around this, they wouldn't turn into these really crazy sex maniacs once they get to Washington, D.C., but they absolutely do exist.
No, yeah. But that was sort of my,
And I really do. If there's one ounce of sympathy I have for Madison Cawthorn, is that he got fucking compromised out after he let them know that he's like, yeah, they have, like, these sex parties, and everyone's like,
he was shut out very, very quickly.
He did. It was very sad that
he starts speaking the truth and then. Anyway,
but listen, Madison, if you want to get on those kind of parties down here, they're all off McGregor. You got to get yourself into the Botox spas first and
mingle your way in from there. I guess. Good to know.
That's your thing. So anyway, so that clearly digressed into madness.
That went out of all over the place.
We can both agree.
The other thing we should definitely bring up before we go for the day is the foreign aid bills that went through Congress. We got some action on that. I will say that this was really the best way Mike Johnson could have done this, because it separated them into four different bills and allowed people to vote how they wanted. Usually what happens, and of course you know this, they'll tie it together and they'll do it as one whole package. And so if a Republican voter no on it, they'd get attacked and say, why did you vote against Israel? Well, I wasn't voting against Israel. I wanted to vote against Ukraine.
I do want to say that this was the Republicans' idea. And actually, this was something that came up and it was like, oh, we don't want to vote just on Ukraine. You can't vote on Ukraine until you talk about the border. So the Senate went and said, hey, great, we'll make a border bill and then we'll put Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan all in it. And then the House is like, no. Yeah. And then the Senate's like, no, we don't want it to be all together. I'm like, dude, like.
Yeah, there was an issue with the first bill. I didn't know that Republicans were against
it. They didn't like it. Well, because they actually don't want to solve the border issue, but that's probably not what you
want to talk about. Well, that's part of, kind of hard to solve an issue before the election year. We have to really run on it.
Yeah, they really have to run on it. So fuck those people at the border.
No.
Until further notice.
No, and I do know there was some minor opposition to certain provisions within the border security bill, but that's. I mean, I agree with you. I think the main reason was.
So anyway, the point is they broke it up.
Anyway.
And then they all passed anyway. So who fucking cares?
Yeah. But again, that's how it should have been done. Obviously, you have the chaotic three trying to say that they're going to try to push Mike Johnson out again.
Yeah. So that'll be super fun. So yeah, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey, and Chip Roy, right?
Yep.
Are three members of the Republican caucus. Now there's only a one person majority at this point in time, because actually so many members of the Republican caucus have either gotten thrown out like George Santos or resigned, including Kevin McCarthy. And what's his name? There was another one in Colorado.
Ken Buck resigned.
Ken Buck. So anyway, one person.
And Mike Gallagher is resigning in Wisconsin, so I think.
But not to the, he's not to the end of the session, though.
Okay.
He's just not running for re-election, which everybody was just like, resign, because the Democrats want him to like.
Yeah. Want to get out. But anyway, I do know there's two Democrats who have stated that they would stand with Mike Johnson based on the Ukraine bill, one of them being Jared Moskowitz. So there is a possibility that he stays on board with Democratic votes. Marjorie has postponed it because she wants the Congress people to go back to their districts and speak to their constituents.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But
who are really concerned about Mike Johnson.
Yes, I know. But honestly, look, Mike Johnson did the right thing here by separating the bills. Because again, what Marjorie and a lot of these people do not realize is, yes, we have a lot of Republicans who don't want to fund Ukraine, but you also have a lot of Republicans who do want to fund Ukraine. And when you have a one vote majority, can't afford to pick and choose with that. So having it divided allowed and allowing the members to vote their conscience obviously got all of them passed, because Democrats were all for all these foreign aid bills. But again, a lot of Republicans are like, no, the minority of the minority has to basically control everything, which is not how a republic works.
Yeah, that's called minoritarianism. Yeah, and that's not how
Republics are supposed to protect the minority. They're not supposed to be controlled by the minority.
So yeah, but one thing that is a real concern is actually getting that vote through, because now it only takes one member of the conference to call for a vote on the speaker. So that's how Kevin McCarthy got ousted, and it could end up like this. You seem to be pretty confident that there's at least a handful of Democrats that will stand up and vote for Mike Johnson, but
you have a different opinion. I understand.
I think it's just going to be chaos, and I think that that may be part of it, and Democrats are going to benefit from that. Because, the closer we get to the elections here and the less the Republicans appear able to govern, the better off it is going to be for Democrats. He's just like, yeah.
I mean, you're not.
So he's hoping that those two Democrats come through.
I'm hoping more than two Democrats come through, because my thinking is that Marjorie's trying to use this time to whip up as much votes as she can against Mike. But I think Mike has a strong group of people within his caucus. I think that he's obviously the modern, the establishment folks like him. But I think you have a lot of conservatives who weren't the biggest supporters of Kevin McCarthy who still like him as well. So
that vote would, by the way, it would just be a simple majority. And the first vote would be whether or not to retain him in his seat.
Exactly.
So he would need a majority vote for that.
Yeah. And I think you could probably get, I think you can hopefully get enough Democrats to flip that, because
we'll see. Speaking of dumb things that Congress is doing right now, the Mayorkas impeachment.
Oh, yes. I was wondering if we're going to bring this up.
Went to the Senate and they were like, no, thanks.
Here's what I will say about this one. I do think that with an executive branch official, if an executive branch official is purposefully or willfully neglecting to enforce the law, that to me is high crimes and misdemeanors and an impeachable offense. But having read the impeachment articles, they did not, it was, I don't even want to say they didn't even prove it. It read as a ridiculous, so ridiculous. Like one of the things they used as an example was a quote where he said, we're not saying don't come. That was like an actual portion of the reason to impeach him. So it wasn't a strong enough argument for me. With that being said, if they can show that he had willfully, or any cabinet member or a president, willfully not enforcing the law, I do think that's an impeachable offense. But even if you look at, they were citing, was it the Secure Fence? I think it was the Secure Fence Act. And they were saying that he was not maintaining operational control. But if you read the provision that they were looking at on the Secure Fence Act, it says that the person who determines what that operational control is the secretary. So it's not Congress who determines what is the standard of operational control, it's the secretary. So in theory, he wasn't really violating the law since he is the one setting the standard. We can disagree with the standard, which we do, but that doesn't make it an impeachable offense. So I don't think they made a strong enough argument to impeach him. I still, again, say if a secretary, a cabinet secretary, or president of either party is not enforcing the law as written, willfully not enforcing them. Now, if they're like trying and they can't because of funding or other external factors, that's a different story. But if they're like, I'm just going to ignore the law, then yeah, that's an impeachable offense.
Yeah, but that was not happening. This was political bullshit. Yeah. And it was just a way to do something in Congress on the border.
Yeah.
Especially after they killed the border bill, right? And it's total political nonsense, which, you know, impeachment is a political thing, but it was so ridiculous. Well, and the Senate just killed it because there was no merit to it.
That's why
whatsoever.
I'm just spilled ice cream all over me. But the reason why I am kind of happy that it got dismissed is because I do feel impeachments have become too much of this easy political football. Sure. Ever since both Trump and Clinton, mm-hmm. and all the talks with Biden, and there were even talks back in the day to impeach Bush. It's like every single president since Clinton has had these impeachment threats.
Right.
It's a problem. It does not do well for good governance.
Right.
And we need to stop making political disagreements a right. means of impeachment. Impeachments are supposed to be very rare, very few, and very far between.
Right.
Not one every 10 freaking years. So
or every year in the case of Trump.
Well,
but that wasn't political. That was like he was a criminal. That's why he's got 91 felony indictments on him. So yeah. So we got more of that to come. Campaign season is heating up.
Yeah,
right?
So we're going to be discussing how we're going to be doing the show, where we're going to be doing the show. Obviously, with campaign season, we're looking to do special debates, which we will do as like special shows. But definitely watch our social media pages and follow that to see when we're going to start back up again. We're probably going to take a bit of a hiatus to work for our respective candidates and may the best party. The right party win.
Right. And we'll have qualification coming up. So this coming up week is the congressional qualification. So we'll know who our congressional candidates in the state of Florida will be at the end of this week. And then June will be the qualification for all of the state and local candidates. So we'll know who is going to be where. And then let the debates begin.
So it begins. All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else now. I think we're all good. Again, thank you one more time to Ollie's for all their time, all the times we were able to come in and enjoy this wonderful bar. And thanks for the memories.
And definitely come check out the finale weekend. That is next weekend, April 26th to 27th. And say goodbye and, best wishes to all those involved. Thanks for being our host here, Ollie's Pub. And this has been a Democrat and Republican Walk Into a Bar. I'm your Democratic host, Dr. Cindy Banier.
And I am your Republican host, Sean Hartman.
And if you enjoyed this, we ask you to subscribe at Big Mouth Media, BigMouthMediaFL.com. You can get this show delivered, videos and audio included, and all of our shows for a subscription that helps us keep on going. So you can check that out on our plans and pricing page at BigMouthMediaFL.com. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.